with information on the latest developments in assistive technology and initiatives from the studios of 2RPH in Sydney. RPH Australia brings you AbleQuest. Hello, I'm Marnie Roper. Over the years, we have interviewed many interesting men and women who are developing assistive technologies and driving new cultural and recreational initiatives designed especially for people with disabilities. Office and residential buildings, theatres, parks and public spaces everywhere are becoming more accessible. The opportunity for those people to participate fully in the community and derive more fulfilment from life has never been greater. Medically, physically, and socially, the world of those with disabilities is changing fast. And, like the more able-bodied, they also want greater choice and control over their lives. The National Disability Insurance Scheme, now rolling out across Australia, has been created by the government to answer this need. In this two-part series, we look at the complexities of the new NDIS, as well as established models. Our guest today, Nikki Lindemann, has spent most of her career involved in the disability services sector. Nikki joined Barbara Sullivan in the studio and shared her extensive understanding of exceptional people-centred organisations and her views on the NDIS.
For those listeners who may not know, Nikki was the station general manager for many years at 2RPH, and actually the AbleQuest program was her brainchild. Now, she moved on recently to take up a management position in the disability services sector. She has been involved in the disability sector for many, many years of her career. So we felt it would be a very interesting conversation to invite Nikki back in to talk about how she sees some of the changes that are coming through the sector and give us some of those observations. Nikki, maybe you could just start by giving us a potted history of your involvement through the years with the disability sector.
Certainly. It started what must be at least 15 years ago with a company out in the Hills District, an organisation rather, not a company, where I was in charge of two group homes with six clients, as we called them in those days, who had mild to moderate intellectual disability. In those days, this was obviously pre the NDIS, and it was a very well organised place, and the clients were long-term people who'd been with the organisation for some time. They lived in their own houses. They, for the most part, went to work every day, or they had day programmes, and that was my introduction, and I was house manager. I moved on from there through various other means to what used to be called the Spastic Centre, is now known as the CP Alliance, Cerebral Palsy Alliance, a very well-known organisation in the sector, which looks after people with cerebral palsy from birth to death. And they have all sorts of research going on, and they actually, as well as offering day programmes and accommodation and so forth, they do a lot of research into technical aid for the disabled. It's very interesting go-ahead organisation.
Yes, we actually had them on AbleQuest at one point talking about what some of their activities were, including their CP Alliance Day, where they had a worldwide competition for technology.
Well, this is a very well-funded organisation. They are in the forefront of what they do. Part of my job when I was there, just out of interest, was also to, I had a slightly sort of PR-related role. I was working for a day programme, and I was asked on occasions to do little talks to visiting people who were working in the sector from Japan mostly, but from Asia. So they would come and tour the CP Alliance, the various options and programs and accommodations that were provided, and look at what we were doing. And one of my jobs, as I say, was to address these people about what we were doing in those particular day programs that I was involved with. And that was great fun.
Interesting.
Enjoyed that very much. Then, of course, I eventually made my way to RPH, starting as the assistant manager and going on to be the general manager for many years, as Barbara says, which, of course, is a disability organisation, but
yes,
a slightly more removed job that I had, because we do serve to the community of people with disability. From here, I moved to a company called Achieve Australia, which is a large organisation that serves people with disabilities.
Yes, tell us a little about how Achieve Australia functions.
Okay, Achieve Australia has four main arms, as it were. employment, accommodation, day programmes, and what they call wellness, which is generally social wellness and also physical health. I was working in the accommodation sector, and it's an accommodation service, like most disability services have an accommodation service, where people actually reside, their homes, their places of safety, their domiciles. And Achieve has recently, and is still going through enormous changes related to the introduction and rollout of the NDIS. And the NDIS has caused enormous changes to people's lives through the person-centred approach, which of course we all very much applaud. For those listeners who aren't perhaps totally familiar with that, it's about giving the individual living with a disability full control of their funding package. So they can basically choose anything they need, any service they need, whether be it accommodation, be it a day programme, be it transport, be it some kind of activity or education, whatever it might be, they can choose how to spend their money.
Let's come to that in a minute.
Oh, okay.
Talk a little bit more about Achieve Australia. You mentioned accommodation, and while you've had these other daytime jobs, if you like, although they tend to be longer than daytime, I suspect, you have also been a director of L'Arche. We had L'Arche on the program at one point as well, the CEO from L'Arche. Just give us a quick synopsis of what L'Arche does.
L'Arche is a very special organisation. It's a faith-based organisation, but that isn't the overall thrust of what we do. L'Arche is what I, as a director, would term the quintessential person-centred organisation. It was started 52 years ago, I think it is, in France by a wonderful man called Jean Vanier, who's written many books. He noticed a couple of gentlemen living in his village of Treuilly who were living with a disability. I think they were both intellectually disabled. And what he did was, he was his word, he actually invited them into his own home to share his life because he felt that they were, and it was true, they were not having the full experience of their lives and they weren't contributing in the way that he felt they might be able to. So he invited them into his own home and he gave them the opportunity to be full members as far as they could of society in that area. This organisation has gone from strength to strength, and we're now in 50-something countries worldwide. I believe it's the only disability organisation that is actually worldwide. And it's...
That's interesting.
And it is truly person-centric in that we don't refer to our people with disabilities, the people we support, as clients or people we support or whatever it might be, customers. In some cases, some services refer to them as customers. We call them core members. And from that, you can see they're the core of what this organisation does. Everything is around them and their opportunity to share life with people without disabilities. And that takes the form of our, we don't call them workers, we call them assistants, and they live together in houses, in, call them group homes.
So small homes, just that would be typically the number of people that might live in any house.
I can only really speak with authority about L'Arche Sydney. And the houses we have three houses in Sydney, and they are actually, as it happens, quite large houses, but there are, I think, five is the largest number that live in one house. But it's like a family. The assistants come from overseas, so the attraction for them is working with an organisation like L'Arche, but also to experience life in another country. So they come over, they get a stipend, they live in the house with the people and just sort of live life together. They just do stuff together. They're just like a family.
They're not offering a service to these people. It's, that is extremely interesting.
And that's the difference. And that's what makes it really interesting for me, bridging those two very diverse approaches to the person-centred life that we as people without intellectual disability or physical disability are trying to offer people who are living with it. And perhaps a bit more focus on L'Arche, maybe, because the model, in my view, is second to none. If I can give you a little example of what I mean by that. My very first board meeting, top person, a woman called Eileen Glass, wonderful woman, very inspiring, came and gave us a little talk. And she talked about this little thing that happened in Canada a few years ago. For me, it's what got me into L'Arche, and it's what I think disability care should be about. So there was a group of L'Arche core members who, it was very cold, it was winter in Quebec, and this group of L'Arche core members were out and they saw a queue of, I think, unemployed people in the freezing cold. You know, Canada can be very, 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 very cold. And they were standing in the snow, queuing up for something. I think it was their payment. So they went back to their house. And this was the staff, but it was led by. They brewed up some, I think, hot chocolate or hot soup. And they went back and they dispensed this to these poor, freezing cold, unemployed people. This was people with disability.
They did it themselves.
They did it themselves with support. It was such a tremendous picture for me. Why shouldn't people with disabilities help people without disabilities?
Yes.
That's making a really valuable contribution. That, I think, for me, is the ethos of L'Arche.
Back to the NDIS and your comment about people having to have an assessment before they become accepted into the NDIS register. To give us some sort of framework for the discussion, step us through the process that somebody might have to go through to be assessed.
Okay. In effect, I'll say the L'Arche Corps members have to do the same thing. What happens is you are assessed by the NDIA. It's the sort of administrative overarching arm of the NDIS. Basically, you put together with your carers, your family, your advocates, whoever it is that's helping you as a person with a disability, you know, find your way through this maze of funding. You work out what you need. So you want accommodation, you want activities, you want to go to work, or you want a day program, depending on what your particular needs and abilities are, and you want transport, or you want to go dancing, or whatever it might be. You prepare this assessment, you go, and I believe it's sort of something like an interview, and then you get awarded a package. That's very much in a nutshell what it is. The packages that are being awarded currently are, for the most part, for the people that I am aware of what their packages are, quite large. So the generous, and this is one of the issues, we'll get onto that, I know, later on. My personal fear is that the government may not be able to fully fund all.
During the assessment, did they take into account the views of, for example, the occupational therapists who have been working with this particular person?
Yes, they do. And if, for example, you have cerebral palsy, and it looks like, although your condition doesn't deteriorate in terms of the cerebral palsy that you have, but as you age, your physical condition changes. Okay. So you become less able. So you might be looking that within the next year you need a new wheelchair. So you have to budget. I don't know if that's the right word, but you have to budget for that. And those things come very expensive. Yes, you take all the advice from all the various ancillary people that help. You produce this request, as it were. I don't know what the proper term is. And then you go to the NDIA and you go, this is what I need. And they cost it out. And then you basically get that package. In theory, you can go out and choose your own services. So you could have accommodation with Achieve Australia, say, and you could have a day program with another service, and you could get whatever it is you need from a third. That, in theory, works. Whereas in the old days, you were with a service, and they basically provided you with...
So they might outsource, but they would pull those services in. Those were people that they selected, and you had no choice. Our guest today on AbleQuest was Nikki Linderman. In the follow-up program, Nikki elaborates on the complexity of the NDIS.
You have just been listening to AbleQuest, a program that looks at developments in assistive technology. From Barbara Sullivan and Marnie Roper, thank you for listening and goodbye till next program.